When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Devin Williams, I'd like to say thank you. It was a pleasure. I loved watching you pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers. The airbender, there's only one, was great. I loved every minute of it. But I'm glad they traded you. With all due respect. Not that I don't want you to be a Brewer for life. I'd love it. But you know and I know, Brewers can't pay you. So the decision had to be made. And again, if you didn't hear the Matt Arnold interview last Friday, a week ago, go back and listen to it. It's a half hour long. We covered the gamut of stuff, and it was really, really good, I think. He was laughing a lot. I was laughing a lot. It was a lot of fun. But we talked about this whole Devin Williams thing. You remember how that played out? We should go back and pull that, and we can play it later. I asked him about this whole thing with Devin Williams. And it doesn't play on the radio, but as I'm asking it, Matt Arnold, well, I'm saying, man, you can't trade this dude at the All-Star break if you're in the lead. And Matt Arnold is doing this whole shoulder shrug, eye rolling, like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You know, doing this whole thing. Everybody's laughing in the Bears Sunroom Studios when he's making all these faces at me when I'm talking. I'm like, no way. I don't believe you. You can make all those gestures you want. No chance. There's no way you're trading him. If he's on the opening day roster, this dude's here all year. So they didn't wait, obviously. No surprise there. You hear there's 10 teams involved. That was the report. And you're wondering, okay, well, they're going to get a good deal for Devin Williams. Now, some may have wanted this to be a prospect-laden package. Okay? Some may have wanted that. That's not the way they went. They went out and got a legitimate starter, a lefty, sub-4 ERA, Nestor Cortes from the Yankees. So you put him into this rotation. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Yankees send over $4 million back in the deal to help pay for his contract. Small markets always get money sent over. It's amazing. It's just amazing. You want this deal to go? Yeah, you're going to have to pay for it, right? You're going to have to pay for it, which is fine. So you get Cortes on a 1 year deal. You plop him in. You wait for Robert Gasser to come back from injury in 2026, end of 2025, whatever the case may be. Gasser then pops back into the rotation when Cortes exits. But it's a veteran pitcher that you can put up at the front with Woodruff and Peralta. What is the thing I was chirping about with the whole Crochet thing? You need a front three for the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, are your front three going to be able to match up with a front three of other pitching staffs? That was the question. Can you get another starting pitcher for the front three? He's it. They got a guy. Now, has to stay healthy. That obviously is a big concern. Most innings he's pitched in a year was just this year. Got over 170-some innings. So that's great. 3 years ago, he was at over 150-some innings. That's about it. Otherwise, he doesn't have a lot of innings as far as per year basis as you look at his numbers. So now it's, again, if Woodruff is right, which we don't know, but if Woodruff is right, it's Woodruff, Peralta, and Cortez are the top three. Maybe Cortez is two, Peralta is three, whatever. However you want to lay it out is fine with me. But those are your front three. Then it's Savali or Tobias Myers at 4 and 5. Now, I don't need Ashby in the rotation. I don't need Dale Hall in the rotation. I don't need to bring Mizorowski up for a rotation spot. I don't got to worry about any of that. Ashby can sit in the bullpen, where he was very effective in the second half last year, and be that guy. DL Hall can either be in the bullpen again or go down and start at AAA until there's an injury or something, and then you bring him up. But it gives you more options, right? Then you have Caleb Durbin, who is the minor leaguer they got back in the deal as well, a guy that has played everywhere. He's played second, he's played short, he's played third, he's played some outfield. Lots to like here. 24-year-old kid, I get pretty excited about him as well. Now, I would assume, based on the numbers, we'll jump into the numbers here in a little bit, based on his numbers, that he's going to be a part of this opening day roster one way or the other. Whether he's starting or whether he's a utility guy, maybe he replaces Monasterio as a utility guy, don't know. But either way, I'm assuming he'll be on the roster. And you have plenty of years of control over this kid as well. So you don't got to worry about him going anywhere. You're going to get, you get at least one long-term piece back, and you get a rental in exchange for giving up a rental in Devin Williams. The question is this. Did the Brewers get enough for Devin Williams? As far as you're concerned, as a Brewers fan, did the Brewers get enough for you? Nicolay Law, Fan Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. I have lots of people tweeting at me since this whole thing happened, so I can read some of those. But you can also tweet at the station account as well. My account at Sparky Radio. You're at what, Charlie Usen, right?
Charlie Usen.
Yep. Right. U-C-Z-E-N. That's how you spell his last name. You want to follow Charlie on Twitter. All right, so quickly, I want to go over some of these numbers here of our guy, Caleb Durbin. Now, it's funny that we get a Caleb. See, now the Brewers have a Caleb. The Bears have a Caleb. We all can like a Caleb here one way or the other. All right, let's talk about Caleb Durbin here first off and foremost. And one thing I want to point out is, because there's a lot of this whole Sal Frelick stuff, because he's 5'6", this kid. Like buck 80, 5'6". I'm 5'6". I weigh like a buck 45 to a buck 50. There's no way I could comfortably walk around with another 30 pounds on my frame. There's no chance. So Charlie, I go to Charlie, I go, Charlie, let's see if we can find some video. I want to see what this dude looks like. Because all you see is a headshot on like MILB.com or whatever. So we looked at it. He doesn't look jacked. He doesn't look fat. I don't know where he's hiding all the weight, but he looks fine one way or the other, right, at the end of the day. All right, so a couple of things to point out here. As I said, besides the fact that he is small, this was from Jeff Passan. Plays everywhere, has incredible bat-to-ball skills, and 1,200 minor league plate appearances. He had his .269 batting average, .374 on base, .407 stolen, 134 walks, 111 strikeouts, 110 stolen bases, a high floor guy for the Brewers. And that is fine and dandy at the end of the day, but when you start looking at his numbers overall here lately, like say in the last, year, right? So you include the AAA year that he just had, and you include his Arizona Fall League, the power, it appears, is starting to come. He had 10 home runs in 2024, which is great. He had at AAA, where he played a majority of his time, he played 82 games there. He played 8 games between AA and single A as well. So 82 games. He had .287, .396 on base, .471 slugging at AAA. Those are great numbers, folks. Those are great numbers. Then if you talk about the Arizona Fall League. Now, if you aren't familiar with the Arizona Fall League, Well, shame on you. But I'll tell you anyhow. Arizona Fall League are normally the higher-end prospects that each team gets to send a few to, and then they essentially play a few more games in the Arizona Fall League. So he was there on behalf of, obviously, the Yankees, played 24 games. He had five homers in 21 games, or 24 games. So I don't know if he found something. The ball travels well or travels better in Arizona because that's what they always say during spring training. So I'm assuming it's the same in the fall. So maybe that's part of the reason why he had five home runs. But he had 29 stolen bases in 24 games, folks. Dude can run. You know anybody else on the Brewers roster that can run, Charlie?
Everybody?
Everybody! I mean, he checks all the boxes for what you would want in a long-term piece. It's kind of like being a Packers offensive lineman. The more positions you can play, the more they want you. Well, for this specific player here, I think this is a dream for Pat Murphy.
I think it's a dream for Pat Murphy. I don't know if it's a dream for Brewers fans, though. When I look at this trade, yes, both these guys fit in with what the Brewers want to do, but they don't elevate what the Brewers want to do, which kind of worries me a little bit. I think you look at Nestor Cortez and you say, you know what, he's had his moments. He's pitched pretty well for the Yankees, but he's also had some down moments, some bad times for the Yankees.
Where is he going? Where is he going? Where is he going?
He's going to the Brewers.
Okay, what have the Brewers done really, really well over the course of
they
time?
They develop pitchers.
Huh? And but the pitching coach is here for a while now. Chris Hook, he's back.
I just don't know if Nestor Cortez is any better than Frankie Montas.
He might win a Cy Young.
That's crazy.
He might win a Cy Young!
That's crazy.
He might win a Cy Young! With Chris Hook as his pitching coach, he might win a Cy Young. Now, this is the thing that I get concerned about. Gave up a lot of home runs last year. Like, I don't know about all that. Especially in that bandbox they play at. So, the long ball stuff concerns me a little bit, right? But he might. He might be their best pitcher by the time they get to the playoffs. They took Savali, not they, Chris Hook took Aaron Savali, who was not good in the first half of the year, and turned him back into what he was prior to the trade the year before and pitched really well. Frankie Montas, a guy that I was like, what are we doing? Why are we wasting our time with this? He had one bad outing in September. One. The rest of them, he had double-digit strikeouts in a couple of those games, 10 strikeouts. And now I'm going to take Cortez and put him in. Let's go. And he's lefty on top of it.
Sure. Cortez may, by the end of the season, be the number one starter, maybe a Cy Young candidate. But right now, what we've been saying all offseason is that we needed that type of guy.
Hold on.
Now.
I didn't say candidate. That's not what I said.
Winner. Use the
Cy
Young winner.
Yeah.
Fine.
Winner.
But that's still what the Brewers were looking for right now. That's what all the fans want to look for right now. We were all beat down when they didn't get Garrett Crochet and Max Fried signs for a giant contract. Yep. And it feels like we're out of these star starting pitchers. Yes, he has the potential, but what the Brewers were looking for right now and what the fans thought the Brewers were looking for right now was a guy to be that immediate number one, not a guy that could be that number one.
Well, right now, I mean, we don't know about Woodruff. But if it's Cortez or Peralta, are you rolling with Cortez over Peralta?
I'm not.
Oh, I am.
I'm rolling with the guy that's been on the team.
I don't give a crap if he's been on the team or not. I'm asking you who the better pitcher is going to be.
I think Peralta's the better pitcher.
Nobody's saying Freddie Peralta's going to be a Cy Young candidate, not even a Cy Young winner.
I feel like you're the only one saying Cortez is going to be the Cy Young.
No, I'm telling you, man. You watch. That's all right. We can all roll together. I'm going to be right on this one. I'm not writing a lot, but I'll be right on this one. The Caleb Durbin aspect of this, the minor leaguer, he was a breakout prospect of the year in the Arizona Fall League this year. So, again, I love the upside that comes along with it. Adam McKelvey points out, Devin Williams, when he was out last year to start, the Brewers were 48-33 without him, 15 over. Trevor McGill led the team with 20 saves in that span. McGill has 3 years of club control. That does not mean he's going to be that good for 3 more years. I understand. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe he won't be that good this year. But again, we have Chris Hook. So I have faith that they believe McGill can be this guy kind of going forward here. I'm just ecstatic. What about y'all? Did the Brewers get enough for Devin Williams? The Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line. Charlie will read the text. I'll do the calls. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Let's hear from some other people on this. Ken Rosenthal on Foul Territory. Was this on Foul Territory?
Yeah.
On Foul Territory. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic on Foul Territory talking about Caleb Durbin.
To me, the Yankees were talking up Durbin as their potential opening day second baseman. Now, he is a smaller guy. Of course, I like him for that reason. He's 5'6", but he does a lot of things. Plays a lot of positions, set the Arizona Fall League record for stolen bases. He's an intriguing guy, and it's going to be curious to me to see how they line up their infield now. Do they go with Durbin at second, play Bryce Terang at short, and then Joey Ortiz at third? They love Terang at second because he is such an above-average defender there. So good there. But he could play shortstop as well, and I'm sure be really good at that spot in addition to being a great second baseman. So that is part of the intrigue here for me. And, of course, the Brewers are looking for starting pitching any way they can get it. Remember, they traded for Savali at the deadline last year. They're not going to spend on free agents. We know that. That's just not what they do. So this trade for them... yeah, they're giving up one of the best closers in the game, but it's 1 year of one of the best closers in the game, and they're getting a starting pitcher for 1 year in Nestor Cortes Jr. back.
I don't know if the Yankees were talking this dude up because they thought he was that dude, or if they were talking this dude up hoping to raise his trade value to trade him like they did today. But I play for you Scott Braun and Eric Kratz now, on Foul Territory, talking about this trade, Williams for Cortes and Durbin. Now, remember, Scott Braun is a play-by-play guy, does different stuff there. Kratz is a former big league catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Kratz has been on this show, as has A.J. Pierzynski, has been on this show this year. I love Foul Territory. I think it's great. It's on TV now on, FanDuel Sports Network. Right. It's so good. I'm just big fan. So here are these guys talking about this deal.
Were you surprised about the return? It's not a bad return. I just felt like the Brewers were going to go for some high-end pitching prospect, and maybe they didn't end up getting that. They chose the big league route. So you get Nestor to plug into the rotation, and with the price of starting pitching, the Brewers can't ball like that in free agency. And their rotation was a problem this past season. You're like, I'm into a lot of things with the Brewers. It's one of the best bullpens. It's a brand of baseball that could work in the postseason. It, of course, worked in the regular season. They dominated the NL Central division. But for me, Durbin is actually much more of a Brewer than a Yankee. He's got some of the weakest exit velocity numbers. That is not what the Yankees front office is into. So they were touting like they liked him, but that's not a Yankee. That's not what the stat nerds behind the scenes are into on the Yankee side. And there's plenty of stat nerds on the Brewer side in their front office, but they like the brand that is Bryce Terang, Joey Ortiz, Caleb Durbin, who's 5'6", steals a ton of bags, can play everywhere. He's a dirtbag. Look up the term.
He is a dirtbag. It's a endearing term.
Long Beach.
But he's not like let's make sure we're not putting him in the category of like a Nick Madrigal. Not to throw shade to Nick Madrigal catching strays here, but that dude had no thump. This guy went out to the Fall League, had 5 dingers. He had 13 dingers this year in AAA. I think it was in AAA. Maybe it was all of those levels. I get it. I get that his – I have the stats right here. His whole season, he had 13 dingers. Concerning part, he had one homer against lefties, and he's a right-handed hitter. But he does have pop. The biggest thing for me, and this is why he will fit into the Brewers started cutting down strikeouts. And I don't care if you can run. If you can't get on first base, you ain't doing jack. He has never once struck out more than he has walked in a season.
Listen, I don't want to say this again. That was Scott Braun, Eric Kratz from Foul Territory. Kratz, the last voice that you heard. Love Eric Kratz. This is the thing. I have been wanting to find a leadoff hitter for this team. And I understand Bryce Terang show that he could be the leadoff hitter. But, bear with me, if Durbin can be the second baseman, and from everything I've heard texting people, it sounds like his glove isn't necessarily above average. He's not a gold glover, he's not a platinum glover, whatever. And apparently his arm isn't necessarily meant for the left side of the infield. So second base makes more sense there, right? If you don't find a power guy, power home run guy to play third base, if you don't get that guy, whoever that's going to be, and I don't know who you're trading now to get him, and you have no money, so I'm assuming this is what it's going to be. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll trade one of these outfielders, trade one of these pitchers that now don't have to be in the rotation, and they figure out how to get a third baseman. But if Terang is at shortstop, and Ortiz is at third, and this new kid, this minor leaguer, Caleb Durbin, who they get for Devin Williams earlier today in this trade with Nestor Cortes, if he's at second base, and you look at his on-base numbers, almost 400, and then the capability of swiping 30 bags in a year or 40 bags in a year, and he's your leadoff hitter, now, you still have Yelich that's going to hit three, you have Churio at two, you have Contreras still in there at four, if you want. Or, hear me out, you could go Durbin at one, Terang at two, then Churio at three, Yelich at four, Contreras at five, and that strengthens your lineup down to five. Then it's, what, Garrett Mitchell at six at that point? And then you have seven, eight, and nine, and right now at that point you have whoever is playing the other corner outfield. No, your outfielders are all done. So you would still have a DH if it's not Yelich, right? And you would still have Joey Ortiz and your first baseman. So you would still have Hoskins, Ortiz, and whoever is DHing that day to fill out 7 through 9. That's a really deep lineup if Durbin can be the leadoff hitter.
That's still a really deep lineup with not a lot of pop, though. That's what I get worried about.
But again, I know you don't follow stuff like before you were born. But just go look at like the Cardinals from the 80s. They ran all over the place with Whitey Herzog's teams. And they were able to put a lot of pressure on you. That's what happened this year. Yes, they got rid of 30 home runs. I understand. I'm just saying this is the plan of attack if you do not find a power hitter for third base, right? If they go, this is it. We got no more money. This is what we're playing with. Then that's what the lineup is. And at that point, everybody in that lineup can run and get you at least 20 stolen bases. Maybe not Rhys Hoskins. Everybody else can get out there and do something at that point.
They can, but I still think you want to, and I don't really think it's an option of finding a third baseman with some power. You can find a Rhys Hoskins type guy where he's batting 230 as long as he's putting up 25 home runs. I don't think that's going to be too hard to find personally. And I think if you look at this roster, yes, you can run all over the place. And yes, in the 80s it worked, but it's not the 80s anymore.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I disagree. Listen, you made bags bigger because you wanted to increase stolen bases. What was the Brewers' strongest suit last year? Two, speed and defense. Those were the two strengths of this team last year. They pushed the envelope and ran in all kinds of situations that people wouldn't expect. That's what got them out in front. And then you remember a certain producer on this show, I don't remember his name, who said, when you get to the playoffs, stop all this running and nonsense and just be more conservative, which obviously they did not do. But this is who they are. This is how they're going to play. I think this was a choice that they made of, we're going to do it differently because we can't afford to sign or trade for Arenado from the Cardinals. Now, again, could you get Arenado? Sure. A, you're not on his list of who he's going to waive a trade clause for, so he don't want to come here anyhow. But even if you were on that list where he said, yep, I'd play for Milwaukee, you can't afford to pay the man. And he's been horrible anyhow, but still, if you want somebody that's going to hit 35, 40 bombs, you're not getting that guy, man. It's just, they don't grow on trees right now in Major League Baseball. Corner infielders, like back in the day, everybody had power hitting first and third baseman. Now, first baseman is a position that's completely died in Major League Baseball. It's like, it's completely dead, like the running back used to be in football. Third base still has some pop. First base, it's gone.
I just think when it came down to when it mattered, in the playoffs, they lost to a team that was better power hitters than them. You had to rely on Jake Bowers to be your power hitter, and you just can't win a playoff series.
And he's gone.
You just can't. And then the team that had the power hitter took that all the way to the National League Championship.
Wow. And that guy hadn't done jack squat for the last 2 months. And Alonso got hot at the right time. I understand
but
what you're saying.
It's a lot higher percentage of a chance of that happening if you have a guy like that versus putting a Bryce Terang into that situation.
So this is the debate then, right? We're way late for a break. So this is the debate then, right? Would you rather have Alonso hitting 230 with a chance he might get a hold of one? Or would you rather have a guy hitting around 285 to 290 that can get on base consistently and swipe a bag and, you know, open it up for somebody else to come up with a big hit? That's kind of the debate. Playoffs, it's proven. It's not debatable. Power wins in the playoffs. Plain and simple. Right? It's proven. You can go back and look at the numbers. That is what wins. All I'm saying is, if you can't find a power hitting third baseman, it's December. We don't have spring training. Pitchers and catchers don't report until February. So we've got 2 months at least before we get to that point to see what this roster is going to look like. If Matt Arnold has something else up his sleeve. But Devin Williams was that biggest chip that he had to move. So now it becomes, okay, if you moved him, what else do you have left to trade in order to find said third baseman that you're looking for? We'll talk more about that coming up at 3 o'clock. Coming up, we'll do our Green and Gold update. Confident, concerned, and curious. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur talking about Jair Alexander, who is not playing, but he has a reason of why. It's not that he's hurt again. So stay tuned for that. That's straight ahead. And then back to Brewers talk with Andrew Wagner from Forbes Sports. Get his thoughts on this Brewers trade. Read some tweets from y'all, too, coming up at 2:40. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Make some space. Wendy's new mushroom bacon cheeseburger is entering the chat for a limited time only. Savory roasted mushrooms, crispy bacon, melted Munster cheese, and creamy garlic spread all resting on Wendy's fresh, never frozen beef. It's a tasteful fusion unlike anything you've sucked your teeth into. And it's coming from Wendy's, so you're getting your flavors worth with every bite. For some mushroomy, bacony goodness, it's gotta be Wendy's.